Welcome to the March 14th edition of Zuch and Wild. And it is conference tournament weekend, and both me and Zuch could not be more excited for this. We have, first, we're going to talk about a little Duke being Duke action. Kyle Filipowski, his foot accidentally got stuck out. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We'll do our conference tournament predictions. And then do a little high-low Buffalo of conference tournament moments that we both have seen. I had a hard time doing it like earlier than like 2000. But before we jump into that, Zuch, before I let you talk, I want to remind everyone that Zuch and Wild, partnered or with Settle Down, is doing a tournament challenge bracket. So we are doing a conference, the ESPN app, a tournament challenge, and the winner of the tournament challenge is going to be given two tickets to the Boise State versus Oregon football game in September, or $100 if you can't make it to the game. But it's a great, it's free to entry. Zuch, I cannot stress how awesome this challenge that we're doing is. And it was Zuch's idea for the two tickets.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. Like everyone, like even if you don't watch college basketball at all, don't care, it's still fun to fill out a bracket and see if you win, and you can get $100.
$100, or if you're in the Boise area or a Boise fan, that's where this podcast is based. You can get two free tickets to the game, and we'll all be there. And if we see you there, maybe we'll buy you a beer or a meal. How about that, Zuch?
Works for me.
That is awesome. So there's three things that you have to do to sign up. First thing you're going to do is follow us on Instagram. You have to be following us on Instagram to be participating. Second thing is there will be a Google form posted on all of our socials and will be in the bio of our Instagram and our new Twitter. So fill out that form so we can get your contact information, like your name, and just a good email that works for you just in case you win, where we can send the tickets to you. And then third is you're going to join our ESPN bracket challenge that is also going to be posted once the brackets are made available, and just fill it out and join our group. You'll be able to see how we're doing, how other people are doing. Talk to your friends. It's free to entry. The only cost of entering this is following us on Instagram. This is a steal, because you can win two free tickets or $100. But you know who needs $100 right now?
Who's that?
It's me. I need $100. So I should have, actually, I needed a $100 and a time machine. So I could have bet $100 on Duke, of Duke being Duke. Of course this happened to Duke. This, after all of the court storming jabber, after all of the court storming talking and just Jay Billis going off, of course that happens. Like, of course Kyle Filipowski sticks out. It's almost too perfect.
My problem with Duke has always been just, and like, you're never going to be likable to people who'd, like, for example, if you and I were both 17 years old and five-star basketball recruits, right? We'd both be lying if we said, like, if Duke offered us a four-ride scholarship, they were like, oh, no chance I ever get.
Oh, 100%. Duke would be top five instantly without even a campus visit if I was a five-star recruit.
If I didn't go there, I would hate them, and they just need to embrace being hated. It's like, did you ever watch the Christian Laettner 30 for 30?
That is actually one of my favorite 30 for 30s of all time. And I think it's what made him so successful. He just is like, yeah, whatever. Like, and like, I'm going to embrace being hated. Like,
right. And he didn't come from a rich family or anything. Like, and like, it doesn't matter, because if you go to Duke, people are going to have that perception that you're, you know, you're going to wear the collared shirt and
the Johnny O'Cusey.
Right. And it's like the guy who plays Mr. Chow said, he's like, oh, I hate what we've become. We've won four or five, whatever it was, five national championships. I hate what we've become. Like, he doesn't hate Duke, but like, and I think some people think it's cool to hate on Duke. And like, I don't.
It is cool to hate on Duke. Let's stop kidding ourselves. They are such goobers. Like, just the image of John Shire going to apologize to fans as other fans are like throwing a soda bottle onto the court at UNC players. It's just so perfect. It's so perfect. And just when you thought, you know, maybe Krzyzewski leaves And, you know, because that was a total Coach K moment right there. Apologizing to students while the other half of your students throw stuff onto the court. Like, that is, like, John Shire is back. Duke is back. And honestly, if they start embracing that villain, like, and Duke's always embraced a villain, but let's also not kid ourselves. Like, those Zion years, they've had a couple years now where they've been kind of cool. Like, that Zion year, they were kind of cool. If they get back to, like, the Plumlee brothers, just
Grayson Allen,
they scare me. Because they are a talent.
The Duke I like. Like, I like the Duke that everyone hates, because it's like funny to me.
You need a heel. Every sport needs a heel. Golf's better when everyone's booing Patrick Reed. The NFL is better. The NFL is better because people hate the Chiefs and they hate Patrick Mahomes. The NBA had its highest ratings when people hated watching the Warriors play and they hated watching LeBron on the Cavs. Like, people love something to hate to, and Duke is that college basketball. We need a heel. We need a heel. And honestly, go for it. Then I'm gonna say, Duke's got us all wound up right now. Sorry about this, but I think I'm gonna go back on actually what I said earlier, and I think what makes Duke the perfect heel, and this is the last thing I'll say about this. What makes Duke the perfect heel is because it's almost like there's like a couple guys on their team that embrace the villain, and everyone else, including their fans, is like oblivious. Like, they think they're the good guys. And I think that's what makes them the perfect heel. Like, yes. they don't, you could say there's a billion teams in the Big 12. I bet when Texas is good or when Alabama basketball was good, Alabama fans go like, yeah, no one likes us. Like, what are you going to do about it? Like, we're Alabama. It's like, yeah, right. I like to hate that. But Duke, it's like, what do you mean? You hate us, like this, like the esteemed tradition of basketball. It's
like they have no clue why people hate them. It's like, it's pretty really obvious why people hate them. Is like, they're part of it is, yes, they're really successful.
They're successful. That's
how they carry themselves. Like, all of, it's all of that stuff. So they are, yeah, if they go on a tournament run, because I feel like they always, Duke either will lose in like the first round to some team they should beat by like 40, but if 100%. They don't, then they beat like every like team, like small school team that everyone is like cheering for. They'll like take them out.
Yeah,
right. And you have the band and their stupid like long sleeve.
The long sleeve rugby shirts. Yeah, the long sleeve rugby shirts. Duke, those ones are goofy. The only time I've ever seen a rugby shirt look cool, have you seen the Cal rugby shirts? But also, I think it's a requirement that if you're a Cal person who gets to wear the rugby shirt, you just have to be the most non-athletic looking person in the world. Yeah. Like, they just stick those guys in those shirts, and it's like, you know what? Hey, it's like the highest esteemed piece of wear I think you can wear if you're a Cal fan.
I wish Cal Mark was Madsen.
Dude, the Mad Dog Madsen, dude. I love it. Some off-season content. Maybe we'll actually, the next Settle Down Live I'm on, I'll bring up Mark Madsen dancing a little bit to Shaq at the 01-02 Lakers Championship Parade. Make sure everyone listens to Settle Down Live every Thursday night on the Settle Down YouTube account. Shameless plug there. Zuch, anything else on Duke being Duke, man?
I don't believe so.
That's great, because we are going to need all the time in the world to talk about conference tournament predictions and what we think of each conference's tournament. We're going to go through every Power Five plus the Mountain West and Big East. So pretty much every mega basketball conference. And let's, I know A-10 fans will come after me, but A-10, sorry, this is Shaka Smart's not at VCU anymore. No one cares about the A-10 anymore.
Wait, I want to start with the Big East, because I have to ask you, do you like Rick Pitino after his appearance on Pardon My Take? Did he come across as more likable to you?
No, look, I've never, look, one thing I'll say about Rick Pitino is that he is entertaining, and he has my respect, but I don't have to like him. Like, it's not even respect, because, like, of course I respect Coach K, but the hate I have for Rick Pitino is like different than the hate I have for someone like Jim Boeheim or Coach K. Like Rick Pitino, it's like, man, I know you're a scumbag. Like, I know you do all these dirty things. But man, like, if I was a recruit, shoot, I'd be all in. I listened to that tournament, man. Like, I get it now. Like, I think that's the best phrase. I get it now. Like, he definitely does seem to care about his players, which I think is what made him a successful coach. But he's a scum. He's a little scummy.
And he was, like, this close to him.
Yeah, Kevin Ware. Yeah, okay. Rick Pitino also needs to bust out the all-white suit if he makes it to the championship of the Big East tournament. So yeah. Let's look at the Big East tournament first off. Big East tournament. Oh, my gosh. I just had it brought up. Boom. All right. So it's actually pretty even across the board. I think the Big East, it's always one of the most entertaining tournaments, Zuch, would you say?
I think so, yeah. Like, and you have...
Like, there's always, like, I feel like, 6 or 7 tournament teams.
Yeah. And they're all pretty good, honestly. Like,
they're all pretty good.
You always have Seton Hall. What is Seton Hall's record? Because they will be 18 and 11.
Hall will be a 9 seed. Guaranteed. I've been saying that all year. They will be a 9 seed. And actually, a small thing on Seton Hall before we move on to looking at the entire tournament. That coach has done a good job. It was the old St. Peter's coach. I forget his name. He's done a great job at Seton Hall so far. But if you look at this tournament, it's UConn's to lose.
Yeah.
I think they've been the only consistent team. UConn's my pick to win this tournament. I could see Marquette making a run if that one white kid comes back. What's his name? It starts with like a C or a K. If that guy comes back.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
Exactly. But I think besides Marquette, it's UConn's to lose. But I think what makes the Big East tournament special this year is that it's more so of teams on the bubble. Because Seton Hall, St. John's, and Villanova are all on the bubble.
And like then that's DePaul.
Blue Demon Deacon, rest in peace. It's sad. Sad, sad, sad.
DePaul, I just wish, but... I hope, what's his name? Forgive me for describing him like this, but the guy who was at Providence and came to Georgetown. I can't think of his name.
Ed Cooley.
Ed Cooley, yes. I was going to describe that he has that condition.
Alopecia. He has alopecia.
Alopecia, yeah. I want him to get Georgetown good because Georgetown being good would be a lot of fun in that.
It'd be another villain. And plus, he's already a villain. Georgetown's a villain. But this year, they're not going to do anything. I got UConn winning. Is that your pick as well?
Yep, UConn.
I think that Seton Hall versus St. John's game is the game to watch because those are two teams on the bubble, St. John's more so than Seton Hall. Because if St. John's loses that game, they're stressing big time, is what I would say. All right. Well, let's move on to the ACC tournament. Zuch, the ACC tournament. And this one again, it's the ACC is not as deep as it has been in years past. You know, you got North Carolina at a 1. You got Virginia at a 3. Duke at a 2. And Pitt at a 4. I think right now in Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology that I checked last night, so it could have changed by the time that we are recording this on Tuesday. So by the time this podcast is out, it could be completely different. But I think there's only 3 teams in right now, and that's North Carolina, Duke, and Virginia.
Yeah, I think Pitt's on the bubble.
Wake Forest might be on the bubble.
You know who I think is going to have a – I'm not going to say they're going to win – but I think they're going to have a run and end up playing themselves into the tournament and end up in, like, the Elite Eight.
Who?
Syracuse.
Really? That's your big – okay. A little Ghost of Boeheim action?
It just feels like one of those years that everyone's going to, you know, they're going to get in as, like, the 11. They're going to, like, slap somebody out, like Indiana State, and be like, oh, Syracuse.
Like, you think they're going to beat, like, a team in Dayton and just keep gaining momentum.
Add it so I can see exactly where they are.
They are a 7 seed.
7 seed. So they will play. They play NC State.
Yeah.
So they should beat NC State. Then they get Duke. I could see them beating Duke and then being like getting close to the tournament.
That Duke game is being tough. So I think Duke's gonna win. I think what I talked about earlier of Duke kind of embracing the inner villain is going to come out. Duke is, and plus they are on the easy side of the bracket. I don't even think Virginia averages 60 points a game. Like Virginia can't score. Like, they play some of the best defense in the country, but they can't score. And I think it's just, I mean, Duke, the North Carolina gives them trouble, but I think Duke, it's just, like you said, it's set up for either an epic failure or Duke in like the Final Four, and they like John Shire like brings Duke back to like villain status.
Yeah, they like elbow somebody for like Vermont in the first round when they're down 10.
Yeah, no, it won't be in the first round. It'll be like in the second round when they play like a feisty TCU team, and like you like the TCU's making it closer than it should be. And like Jared McCain gets like popped in the face, and Kyle Filipowski just accidentally sticks his foot out again. So, yeah, I have Duke winning the tournament. Do you have Duke winning the ACC?
I'll go North Carolina. They had Duke's number, and they got through their little bad spurt they had a few weeks ago where they lost. I'm pretty sure they lost like 2 out of 3 or something like that. I don't know exactly, but I'll go North Carolina on that one.
All right, the next up in my list is the Pac-12 tournament, and we are going to spend a grand total of 30 seconds on this because I think Arizona's going to wipe everyone unless someone makes a run.
It's Arizona and maybe Washington State. Everyone else is, like, terrible.
Colorado, aren't they on Joe Lunardi's next four out?
They might in Utah was at one point. I don't know where Utah is.
Utah needs to win the tournament. I think Colorado, if they win – 2 games could play themselves maybe into a bubble, depending on how other teams do. But this is a 2-horse race in the Pac-12. It's such a sad way. I think the Pac-12 made a deal with the devil this year. I'm gonna stop sharing because I might want this to get clipped. The Pac-12 made a deal with the devil because their football season was the best they've ever had, and they had to sacrifice their basketball. And Bill Walton is crying because the Pac-12 is known for basketball. It is known as the premier basketball conference, and they're bad this year.
It's bad, and I know it's bad because the bachelor party I'm going to in Vegas starting tomorrow, the groom put in the group chat, I have 4 free tickets to the Pac-12 tournament if anyone wants to go, and nobody's responded saying they want to go.
Come on, what if it's – come on, just go to T-Mobile Arena, hang out. Okay, no one wants to watch the Utes, but you could see the Mad Dog, Mad Dog Madsen.
I could see him. I could see Mick Cronin. I'll go for the coaches.
Yeah, there are some good coaches in the Pac-12. Mick Cronin. Oh my gosh, who's the new Arizona coach? He was a Gonzaga guy.
Yeah, Gonzaga. I can't think of his name.
Oh well, maybe if he like does well in the tournament, we'll remember his name and not lose to Princeton. So if you beat Princeton, that is our promise, Zuchi Wild. If the Arizona can beat Princeton or win their first round game, we will find out the head coach's name. So that is our promise to you, Arizona fans. Moving on, we are going to move on to the Big Ten tournament, Zuch. And again, the Big Ten, known for basketball, usually it's not as good this year. Like Purdue by far has been the second team in the country. You can say Purdue's what you want.
Purdue wins it every year and then they choke. Like,
so I also have Purdue, although my run team that I think could also do some damage in the tournament, I think if they go on this run, is Nebraska.
Okay. Get their first ever tournament win, maybe?
I think so. I think Lunardi had them barely in or barely out. And I think Nebraska, if they can beat Indiana, which will be a big game, and they can beat Illinois, because I think Illinois is going to beat the winner of Ohio State, Iowa. I think Nebraska can go on a little run. They have that one, I don't know his name, but they have that Chinese guy, like the Chinese basketball player on Nebraska that's like blowing up all over social media. And he just shoots threes. Hey, I mean, he just shoots threes and he makes threes. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I hope the Big Ten one is good. It's going to be fun being in Vegas because we're going to be at places that you can have all the games, like the sports book, that there's like 500 games going on all at once. And you have to like, it is fun. I love it. But you also are just like so shook because you're like, all right, Indiana, Ohio State or whatever is, there's going to be a last shot here for the win. Also, the Pac-12 tournament's going on. Also, we need to leave in 30 seconds because we're going to the Mountain West tournament. But I need to have time to, like, see if this bet hits so I can go cash out real quick. So
I mean,
I'm going to go with Purdue on that one just because, like, I don't trust Michigan State. I don't trust Iowa. I don't trust Indiana's not that good this year. Illinois maybe could, but
I don't know how I feel like Illinois has been under the radar this like whole year. Haven't they been projecting as like a like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 like in that range kind of all year?
I think they're a little higher now, but they still haven't, you know, done what they needed to do for people. Like, I haven't seen anyone picking them as like, oh, like they're, you know, they might have some losses right now, but they've been good lately, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right. Let's move on to the SEC tournament, Zuch. Finally, after two poopy tournaments, we get one that there is legitimately five teams that could win this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you have Alabama definitely could, Kentucky could, Tennessee could. I think Florida could, even though they're kind of under the radar. South Carolina's been good.
I think Auburn. Yeah, like it's solid. I mean, take out Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Missouri, and Georgia. Everyone from like this side on, like they might have a shot.
Yeah,
I could see this happen. And I didn't know this until I was doing some research for this. The SEC tournament is in Nashville. That's like Southern Las Vegas. How, yeah, like that is an experience I want to experience too. Is SEC tournament in Nashville?
In Nashville,
holy moly, that would be exciting.
That one does look like it would be a lot of fun because you have all the bars in downtown Nashville, and it is polo
and polo central. Yeah.
You see them all. Like, the Oxfords are on the feet, some khakis, like fights will be had. And
a lot of PFGs, or is that more football attire? Or do the PFGs still get
PFG is more the football. Like, you will see a lot of those on, like, Orange Beach. Like, if you go to, like, the bar in Orange Beach, Alabama, somebody will be buying, like, the bucket of beer, and they will have, you know, the Auburn PFG, the sunglasses with the strap thing on them, oh, the visor. Goodness. They'll have the sunglasses.
You can never forget the Johnny O QZ. That's a staple at Southern schools. You just have to have either the Johnny O QZ, or if you're a girl, you have to get the your school collab with Lululemon merch. That's the combo you have to do. But actually, talking about the tournament, I think Kentucky is going to win.
I'm
going to
pick it's Kentucky. I think Kentucky's under the radar this year. I mean, I know, like,
go for it.
I know they, you know, struggled. They really struggled for a while, where they lost like three or four straight home games or whatever it was. And even the past couple of years, people have kind of been getting on John Calipari because they haven't, you know.
He has a lifetime contract. He has a lifetime contract. Yeah, but
he hasn't made the, like, past the Sweet 16 or something like that since that year they played UConn, I think. Maybe they went sometime after.
It was the De'Aaron Fox year in like 2016. I think was the last time they made the Elite, because they made the Elite Eight that year.
Yeah, I mean, and that's
De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk.
And I'm not the biggest fan of, like, in college basketball. You know, I think people put way too much into, like, single games. Like, yeah, I think that Kentucky should probably be doing better in the tournament, but you see fans argue like it's football and it's like, oh, we beat you that one. Like, you see it with our fans, like, they always are like clowning San Diego State. They're like, six out of seven.
Oh, don't worry. We have set it just a heads up. We have set aside extra time for the Mountain West tournament.
Okay.
Because we're homers, but B, the Mountain West basketball has been objectively, besides maybe the Big 12 and the Big East, the third most exciting league this year in all of college basketball. So I got Kentucky. Reed Sheppard is a baller. He can explode for 30 in any game. They don't play defense, but we'll see if Dalton Connect can do something, but I have Kentucky. It's like the popular sleeper pick is what I would say.
I'm going with Kentucky. I like Kentucky, so I'm going to go with Kentucky on this one too.
Sweet. Well, the last tournament we kind of do our...
Before you move on, a few years ago, Kentucky story time, and you can look this guy up. He like ran for Congress too, or Senate or something. But I was at work, and the NCAA tournament was in Boise, and it was like the Wednesday before, so I had taken off, you know, Thursday through Sunday because I was like, I want to go to the games. Like, I don't care. I know Kentucky was here, Buffalo, Arizona. I don't remember who all was here, but I was like, I want to go to the games. It's in Boise. Like, they're fun to go to. So for some reason at work that day, I was wearing a South Carolina hat, just like a work hat. And this guy came in and they had Kentucky stuff. And I was like, oh, thing another is here for the game. And he like, I call out his name and he walks up and he goes, not sure I want to take food from a Cox. I was like, oh. He's like, I didn't expect to see one of you out here. And I was like, I'm not even really a fan. I was like, I just like the hat. Like it looks cool or whatever. But he started that, what was it, Big Blue Nation, I think what it's called, his blog.
Like a Kentucky fan blog?
Yeah, but he's like their biggest, like, he is.
He's like Big Valdaddy or like bigger?
No, he's like bigger. He's like.
What's a good comparison?
Like DJ Reigns, but on steroids for us is.
Really?
Yeah, but so, I did not.
Wait, so he would be like. BJ Reigns or like a local media person was also just like a diehard Kentucky fan. So like those things just like mesh together. Like he's like half journalism, like half, that seems like a recipe for just chaos.
Yeah. His name is Matt Jones and he does Kentucky Sports Radio. That's what it was.
It's Kentucky Sports Radio. Isn't that the guy who they do like the call-ins on? We talk about Part of My Take. He's like the PMT guy. And is he also the guy in the Netflix series that like became an investor in OVW, the independent wrestling company?
I think so because he also.
Holy.
I'm trying to. He. So what is Mitch? Yeah, Mitch McConnell is what? A senator? Senator of Congress. He ran against him like a couple years ago when. There's an election, but yeah, he came and then he came in like the next 2 days after that. He was actually real nice, but he was not a fan of the South Carolina hat. And then Sean had a Tennessee hat on and he couldn't even look at him in the face.
That's an awesome story. Well, let's get that's awesome. It's always better when big schools like that, their fans, when you get them riled up, it just creates the best memes ever. Let's talk about the Big 12 tournament. This one is a little all over the place too. There is this one, like the SEC, there's about four or five teams that I could see winning this tournament, Zuch. And I think this is probably my most sleeper pick out of all the picks. I think Baylor is going to be the one that comes away with this championship. And I think that because if you look at their side of the bracket, they're probably going to play a Kansas team that's going to be missing Hunter Dickinson. Then they're probably going to be playing an Iowa State team that I haven't been bought in on all the way. And whether that's a personal thing, objective, subjective, I've watched them play. They don't look like a top 10 team in the country to me. Like they look like a team that's going to get upset by a Florida Gulf Coast come March. So I have Baylor winning there. And then I think they pull the upset on Houston. I know Houston's a juggernaut, but I think Baylor can get it done in this tournament. They're athletic. They're quick. They have great guard play. Ray J. Dennis, ex-Boise State Bronco. He's really, really good as a six-year senior. They're good.
So I like that pick, actually. And I'm going a sleeper team, too, in this one, and it's not going to make people in Boise happy, but I'm going with BYU.
It's a great pick.
To win this one. I was just looking at the bracket. They get UCF first. They'll win that one.
Then no, BYU gets Oklahoma State first. Or did I pull up the wrong one?
UCF played Oklahoma State today.
Oh, nice.
So UCF plays BYU, and then they'll whoever wins that game plays Texas Tech, which I almost went with Texas Tech. And I guess they would have to beat Houston. But, yeah, I mean, Big 12 one's hard because I feel like Houston probably should win it. But I almost think that Houston is at one of those spots now to where, like, they're pretty much locked into a one seed. Like, the one seeds all seem pretty locked to me. Like, Purdue, at least
that's
Purdue.
That's what I think. I could Houston, totally see UConn a team like Houston. I could totally see a team like Houston. It kind of goes both ways. Like, kind of like either lulling themselves in a game that they don't think really matters either in the semifinals of this tournament or in the finals versus a team like Baylor, just be like, like whatever. Like we know our ultimate goal. Like we didn't like, it's nice. They already won the Big 12 regular season. So I think BYU is a good pick. The Big 12 is great. And it's just going to get even better next year when you add Arizona. It's going to be sensational.
Big 12 bets will be placed on the Big 12.
All right.
I've got to I'm going to go with BYU as one of mine.
BYU. It's a little sleeper picks in the Big 12. And the moment is finally here. I've set aside time to talk about the Mountain West Tournament. And before we talk about the Mountain West Tournament, Zuch, we will have boots on the ground in the Mountain West Tournament. Zuch will be in Vegas starting on Wednesday night or Thursdays when you're first going to go to the games.
Thursdays when I'm first going to go to the games.
He will be in Vegas feeling out the peeps. And hopefully we can get a word from Barrelman, a quote from him. Hopefully we can get a quote from the Duckman. Hopefully we can get a quote from Rebel Girl. This is going to
be the insane clown posse guy from New Mexico.
That guy's awesome. Snake, he's my favorite. Snake the Lofo. Or oh my gosh, what is it? Aggie42 on Twitter.
He's a good
Aggie
one.
That guy's not a good one. That guy's all over the place. That guy's like, you know, I talked a couple weeks ago about Utah State fans just finding tweets to get mad about. Like it's not in their timeline. I think Utah State fans are a little insecure. And Utah State fans, before you get mad at me, I picked you to win the conference tournament, so shut up, please. Just let me talk. Congrats, Danny Sprinkle, Coach of the Year. Great job. Like, one of the best coaching jobs I've had, as Zuch told me off air last week. Zero returning points, starting points from last year.
Yeah, that's insane.
And to win the Mountain West is insane. But I'm going to say one thing about Utah State fans. You guys, it's so self-conscious. You guys tweet about everything. And it's not just Boise State. It's all over the Mountain West. I saw you guys tweeting Aztec for life. Why are you tweeting Aztec for life about stuff?
It's a whole Mountain West thing. It really is. Yeah, because you have our fans on one hand who think that any time, like, someone will be like, oh, I think Jason Liddy's the best player in the league. He's showing play. They finished sixth. And also we beat them twice this year. We own that team. I'm like, all right, if you're going to say we own that team, fine. We beat them 6 out of 7. That's really good. But Utah State beat us 4 times in a row. So what would they be saying if a Utah State fan was like, oh, we own you guys in basketball? Like,
they would say, well, Tyson Dagenhart's better than everyone on your team.
It's just so – and it was a conference that every game was, like, down to the wire. Like, I'm sorry, but – and it was a great shot. We have not had a shot like that in forever, that Max Rice one the other night. But it was incredibly lucky. Two things can be true. He threw it up there. Like, if San Diego State had hit that against us, our fans would have been like, well, they got a lucky shot. They probably wouldn't have won without. And I hate that in basketball so much. Like, and our fans, like, not
should've, would've, could've.
Mountain West fans complain about the refs, and
they
think that teams are out, like, the league is out to get them. I'm like, why would the Mountain West not want to get 6 teams in the it doesn't even make any sense if you, like, well, really think about it. Also, maybe the Mountain West should freaking win, other than San Diego State, some tournament games this year. Instead of, I looked it up before we came on here because I wanted to make sure I was right. We have 5 wins over the past, like, 5 years, and they're all San Diego State. We're 0-8.
Take a breath. Oh my gosh, you're cooking the Mountain West right now, man.
they get way too, like, and I get most of it's just fighting between the teams, but, like, no team is so much better than any other. Like, my pick to win the tournament is Colorado State. And I know they had 8 losses, but I think I honestly think the best player in the league is Isaiah Stevens. And it's not a shot at Ladie. I think he's the second best player in the league. But I think
Isaiah Stevens, who won Mountain West Player of the Year, is the third best player in the year, whatever his name is?
If I could pick out of those three who I would want on Boise State, I would pick Isaiah Stevens. Because I think if you have a good guard, it completely changes. Like, I think he really holds Colorado State together. And I think Colorado State, I know they had 8 losses, but I mean, them having 8 losses is not that much different than, you know, us having 5 or whatever it was. Like, there's games we could have lost. There's games Utah State could have lost. It's not, you know.
And when you look at the Mountain West tournament, you know, Colorado State, their path just got a little easier because did you see the news that Steve Alford is not going to travel to the team to Vegas?
I thought it was I thought he was coming, but it was that kid who had like six threes against us the other day that's not coming. He's like hurt his knee.
Maybe someone's not coming on Nevada. Yeah. Don't clip that.
I wonder if their odds have changed. They were plus 900.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
Colorado State is good. And their path, they are on what I would say the more open part of the bracket. No Utah State, no UNLV, no San Diego State. There's New Mexico, which is streaky as hell. Boise State, solid team. Solid team, but Colorado State's proven that they can go toe-to-toe with them. And Nevada, who's going to be missing someone.
Yeah, and it's any of the, like, any, if I told you right now, and I don't know how many leagues are like this, maybe the Big 12 a little bit, but even the Big 12 has Houston, the Big East has UConn. If I told you, like, the bet was you could never watch sports again and you had to pick a team in the Mountain West to win the tournament, there's no team that you would feel remotely comfortable in picking. Like, if you had to do Big 12, you'd be like Houston. Big East, you'd be like UConn. Like, it's – and there's – like, I honestly think if we – and it's probably going to be New Mexico when we play them Thursday night. I could see – I know we beat New Mexico twice, but I don't feel like they couldn't beat us or we couldn't beat them or we couldn't beat Utah State or San Diego State couldn't beat us or UNLV couldn't beat us again or – we couldn't beat Nevada. Like, I mean, it's all been very, very close. And there's no team that is, like, to me, deserves the right to feel act like they're so much better than someone else.
I get that. And the thing about New Mexico, I was going to bring this up. They're playing for their tournament lives. They got to win two games. And it stinks for Boise State because Boise State's playing to get a sixth seed.
Right.
If Boise State goes to the championship, they'll get a sixth seed. And potentially a six seed at worst, would you say a seven seed?
I would think
It sets you up for success way better than having that eight or nine seed. So I love your comment about the Mountain West and their fans and everyone just being at each other's throats. And I think there's two things that create that. One, it is a little bit of a niche conference. So the bickering happens in Big East and Big 12 and SEC, you know, but there's just so large fan bases. There's probably like 100 accounts per school in Mountain West Twitter. Yeah. So everyone knows everyone. How do I know Rebel Girl and Aggie 42 and Aztec for Life? Like, how do I know those names? Because it's the same Mountain West accounts just tweeting each other. And part of me loves it. And then I also think is the chaotic nature of the season this year has created this where everyone has something over everyone. Oh, well, we actually beat you in this game. Oh, well, we beat you at home. Well, we actually beat you five times up until this year. We actually have more tournament wins than you. So it's like every team has a one leg up on each other. So no one can really say, oh, we're the best. Maybe SDSU can be like that, but they can say, like you said, we've had the most only tournament success. But then, as you've already said, Boise State fans could also be like, but we own you. If we played you in the tournament, we could beat you. So it's like every team has something on another team.
Well, it's like, too, like I saw a thing, like our fans are like furious that San Diego State is projected to be like a five seed or whatever it is. And basketball stats you can manipulate so easily.
I love it. I'm just all about net, and when the net doesn't go on, my favor, I turn all to quad one and quad two, and when that doesn't go in my favor, I just go, I test, bro. Like, look at the standings.
I saw one today when I was eating lunch, and I was like, San Diego State is 3-7 in quad one, and Boise State is like 6-5 or 6-5, whatever it was.
You go to the quad two.
Somebody responded under it, like a San Diego State fan, and showed like all four quads. And San Diego State's only losses are quad one. And then they're like 8-0 in quad two, 9-0 in quad three, and like 5-0 in quad four or whatever. And we have quad two losses, and I think maybe one quad three loss. They're like, well, this is why we're higher, because in quads one and two, we're both 9-9, and none of our losses are in quad two. Then a Boise State fan's like, well, our out-of-conference strength schedule is
I love it.
You guys are 36. It's like, you're just – it's, like, so annoying. Like, I just have to get off there because I'm like, they're all being – so like, it's just like, just
and that's what makes this tournament here. Awesome. That's what makes it awesome. It's just a cesspool of chaos at the Thomas and Mack Center. It's a cesspool of chaos. And you're going to be there to document it all. You'll have to bring back a couple stories, maybe a couple quotes from some awesome people.
We're going to go to the Thursday is actually great because we have the last game. So we'll play, like I said, it's New Mexico's not going to lose to Air Force again. We play New Mexico in that game. The game before us is SDSU-UNLV.
Great game. And then
I'm trying to think. I want to say maybe Colorado State-Nevada is the second because it's in the pods or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. The first game isn't that good in the first pod. The second game I want to say is Colorado State-Nevada, which will be a really good game, I believe. And then UNLV-SDSU is good. And us and New Mexico should be pretty good.
I should be excited. I'm excited to hear about the stories. So let's very last run it down real quick. We always do it. High low Buffalo to end the show of just conference tournaments moments. We're trying to go as quick as possible. But let's run this down. Zuch, I will start it off. My high low Buffalo conference tournament moments of all time. And I had, like I said earlier on the show, I had trouble finding like pre-2000 stuff because it's hard to find that stuff. But it's the Kemba Walker step back ankle breaker shot versus Pitt quarterfinals. I didn't realize the guy fell down until I watched it on replay. Yeah. Like I always forget that. It's insane. That I wonder how that guy for Pitt feels. Like you're just the guy that got his ankles broken.
He probably Walker. Still think he sees it every year about this time and just like deletes his social media.
Yeah. Speaking of Kemba Walker, all-time tweet by John Rothstein a couple weeks ago about how his friend had an engagement party in March and he had to skip because Kemba Walker. So I know that was great. My low for conference championship tournament moments of all time is this was a sad one. It was in 2020 when the Big East tournament was canceled. And they had the shot of the St. John's mascot sitting by himself, sad, in Madison Square Garden. That was an all-time low. All-time low. He was so sad. It was just him by himself. And the guy goes, the tournament's been canceled. I think the Big Ten is also considering a cancellation. And it's just, that whole day was just sad.
It was. That was the start of
being canceled.
A dark, dark time.
Yes.
A very dark. My low, and no one's going to know about, like, really know this one. But first time I went to the Mountain West tournament, we were sitting there on the bubble. Boise State was sitting there on the bubble. I'm going to look at our exact record to make sure I have this right. Sitting on the bubble. We had been told, you know, hey, you know, win a couple games and, like, you guys have a shot. You guys have a real shot to get in. So we came into the game at 19-10. Okay. So realistic shot. First game we play San Diego State. So I'm like, okay, San Diego State, we had already beat them by 12 earlier in the year. That was one of the years it looks like we didn't get them again. So I'm like, cool. So we beat them by 12. We can beat them again. No. We were down by like 24 at halftime.
That is quite the low. That is quite the low, man. Oh, that's so sad. But Boise State in the mid-2010s was a depressing product to watch basketball-wise. Early Leon Rice and him having to deal with the past administrations of basketball and him trying to turn it around was a struggle. And I'm glad he's there now.
Every year was like – and we made it twice when I was in school, and we lost to Dayton and Dayton, which sucks. That's still like probably the worst – like football included, that was like the most brutal. Like that was like a – I was like pissed all night type loss because we got the first four and they're playing Dayton and Dayton and we're winning the whole time. And then they come back and take the lead with like 12 seconds left or something stupid like that. And then Buffalo is hard. And this is another one that so it was the same year and the Pac-12 tournament's in Vegas, like we talked about earlier. And I'm walking through a casino and I'm like trying to think of what I was like, I can't just spend the next few days, you know, gambling because we're out on Thursday and I don't want to go to the other game. So I'm going to go to the Pac-12. So we're walking through a casino. I want to say it was New York, but don't quote me on that. It was one of them. And LeVar Ball comes walking through because UCLA was there. And somebody's like, LeVar, is Lonzo going to win? And he did the undefeated, never going to lose, never lost. Like, and he was wearing like gym shorts, a t-shirt that was way too big, and those, what was it? The BBB
brand?
Yeah, like the
big baller brand.
Yeah. So it was awesome. That going into the Pac-12, and somebody like, I don't remember who was even playing. I want to say it was Arizona and UCLA, but once again, don't quote me. But clearly, people had money on the game, and it was like 12 seconds left, and someone was getting killed, and someone just jacked up a three to hit the over, and it swished, and you hear half the crowd. Oh!
I love that. Scott Van Pelt bad beats this time of year is always incredible. My Buffalo. It's actually recent. I had trouble finding something, but I think we're going to look back because I think if this was a dudes tournament, it'd be a bigger deal. We had two women's teams get into a fight last week. This week. And not only that, someone's brother jumped onto the court and got escorted off by police. Brother jumped on, got escorted off. If that's a men's college game, that's a story for life. Like this is insane. That is like the high school like video that you see on Twitter where like the school district has to apologize afterwards for like not being able to control like the fans on the court. That's what it's on
like frontline news.
Yeah, exactly. frontline. That's exactly what it's like. But yeah. That's it. I'm excited for this conference tournament weekend. Zuch is going to got boots on the ground in Vegas. Remember, everyone, we are doing the bracket challenge. So look all over our social medias. It'll be posted. All you have to do to sign up is follow us on Instagram, sign out the Google form, which will be in our Instagram and Twitter bios, and then join our ESPN bracket group, which will also be posted and be in our social media bios. It's free to enter, and the winner can either win two tickets to the BSU Oregon game or $100 if you can't make it or you hate BSU but you like settle down. So the choice is yours. Zuch, anything else for you?
I don't think so. Everyone enjoy the conference tournaments, and we will see you
next week. We will be doing a shorter bracket reaction challenge. No. Throughout the tournament, yes, but throughout the tournament, we will be doing a shorter bracket reaction show next week, and it might have more settle down people. So, Zuch, I will let you tend to that. Godspeed, everyone. We will see you next week with the bracket reaction video.